Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. Today we're looking at something of great importance. And in some way, we've already been introduced to it, and praise God for Andrew leading us in prayer. And in a sense, I feel what I'm saying is just an addendum to that, really. But he touched on so many of the themes that we're going to be thinking about in our passage today. What is the church? What is the church? Well, we know it's not a building. It's a gathering of people. It's a gathering of a special kind of people, of God's people. It's the family of God. And what kind of people are we? What kind of community are we to be? Well, Jesus taught that we are to be people of love. But it almost seems cliched. What does that mean in practice? That's what we're going to be thinking about in our time together. It's not just about being friendly. It's not about smiles and hugs and having fun together. It's much more about standing with each other and carrying one another's burdens. And that's what we're going to think about in our time together. Most of our time is going to be taken up by looking at verse 2. And then we're going to, toward the end, consider verses 3 to 5. 3 to 5 are more difficult, a little bit harder to understand the point that Paul is making. I'm not going to spend a long time explaining it, but I will express what I think is Paul's main point. And that is, as you see in your outline, point number 3, a barrier to burden-bearing, and that is pride. And that's really what those verses, I think, are dealing with. But we are going to spend most of our time in verse 2. Did I put the wrong verses up there? Oh, I did. Sorry about that. All right. So the first 2 points are relating to verse 2, bearing one another's burdens, and then by doing that, fulfilling the law of Christ. Let's have a look then at the first point. Bearing one another's burdens. A burden is something heavy. It's a different word that Paul uses in verse 2 than the one he uses in verse 5. Verse 5 sounds very similar in some ways, but almost contradictory, for each one will bear his own load. Both these words actually come together in a particular verse. It's in Matthew 23 and verse 4, where Jesus, talking about the religious teachers of his day, he said they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, The first word, heavy, is our word in verse 2. And the word burdens, or some versions have load, is the word we have in verse 5. The one we're looking at in verse 2, bear one another's burdens, has the idea of something heavier, it seems, than the one in verse 5. The one in verse 5 was apparently used to describe a soldier's pack that he had to carry. No one else could carry it for him, he had to carry it. But the one in verse 3 refers to something that weighs us down, puts us under pressure. The Greek term, for those interested, baros, is a word that we get barometer from it. And a barometer is something that measures atmospheric pressure. So it's the word pressure, you know, or weight. That's the word that Paul uses here. It's heavy. It is burdensome. It causes suffering. It's something under which at times we feel crushed under the weight of it. Paul says, bear one another's burdens. He assumes that we all have them. You have burdens. And they weigh you down. They trouble you. They make life hard. It could be a range of things. It may be sin. In the context, that is the first thing that really comes to mind. Because remember, we spoke last time about anyone caught in a trespass. And we bear one another's burdens. That is, they're caught in sin. It could be, it's bigger than that though. It's not only sin, it could be guilt that comes from sin. It could be sickness. It could be a painful relationship. Maybe marriage, or maybe something to do with a child. And it causes great crushing weight. Anxiety, fears, they're often a heavy weight to us. Or it could be just weariness, just being so tired. I can identify with that at times. And it seems too great to bear. Or it might be just that we are just overwhelmed with life. Life is the burden. And I'm struggling. You know, I'm feeling so weighed down that I'm struggling to put one foot in front of another. It could be any of these or any others that I haven't mentioned. What is yours? What particularly is your burden? As I said, Paul assumes that we all have them. Now, there's something else about a burden, too. Sort of implied in this word, burden, and that is that a burden is often, well, it is. It's something that one can't carry alone. As I said, the other word there, the in verse 5, the word load, is something that you can carry and you're expected to carry. But the word here is something you can't carry alone. It's too heavy. You can't pick it up, or it's on your shoulders. It's driving you into the ground. You need relief. Now, at this point, we may ask, why has God allowed that? Aren't we his children? Doesn't God love us? Why has he allowed that? Why has he allowed me to have this burden that is crushing me? Why has he given me something that I can't handle? One answer to that is that he wants us to come to him for strength. If we didn't have it, we wouldn't come to him, right? It's too heavy, we come to him. This is, listen to what Paul says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he uses the same, you know, the same root word that we're looking at here. Verses 8 and 9. He says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened." There's the word. It's the verb, though. "Burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Why, God? Why are you doing this to us? Why are we burdened excessively beyond what we can bear?" Well, the answer's here. "So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." It's an amazing verse, powerful. There's one answer. But there's another answer. And it's this. Why has God given you this burden so great? God wants to help us through another sharing that load. Bear one another's burdens. God wants someone to help you to carry that. It's God helping you, but it's God helping you through another. So, it is foolish to think that I can carry this load alone. It's foolish to think I should be able, I should be up to it, I should be strong enough, I should be capable. And if we try and just bear that burden alone, we'll injure ourselves, like trying to lift a, you know, something too heavy, which I'm sure we've all done. I seem to do it quite often. And suffer the consequences. It's also foolish to think that because God will help me, I don't need anyone else. Some people seem to think that it's almost a lack of faith to accept help from people. No, I don't want help from people. I'm waiting for God. And when God doesn't answer, you know, there's a joke about it. I'm not going to tell it, but some of you will know it. It can even lead people to think, well, God hasn't helped me. I've been calling out for him to help. Lord, this is too heavy. Help me. And he hasn't helped me. But maybe it is that he has helped you, but we've refused the help that he's offered through the people that he's given around you, the fellow believers, because you've wanted to do it alone. All right. Bearing one another's burdens. Now, Paul wants us to understand how important this is. Bear one another's burdens and thereby, or thus, or in this way, fulfill the law of Christ. That's how important it is. It's about fulfilling the law of Christ. This is no small part of living the Christian life. Jesus gave a new commandment that was to be the mark of his people. John chapter 13. Listen to Jesus' words. John chapter 13, and we're just going to look at verses 34 and 35. He said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It seems that the law of Christ is just this commandment, this command of love. But note, it is not just love. But it's love as he has loved. If we turn to John 15, verses 12 and 13, he gives us a further explanation. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. That's the kind of love that Jesus has called us to. The love that lays down our life for our friends. Now, this is to be the defining mark of the church. It is the law of Christ. It is vitally important. If we lack this, what are we? Well, Paul says we're nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. If we lack love, we are nothing. What are we as a community if we lack love? Jesus warned a church in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus. He said, you've left your first love. And he said, be careful, because I'm going to come and take away my lampstand from you. So this is what we are to be. We are to be a community of love, and bearing each other's burdens is a key part of it. It is a must. Love demands I help ease your burden by taking some of the weight. We often shy away from doing this because of the difficulty involved. The burdens that people bear are heavy, crushing for the one who's bearing that burden, but it's also heavy for the one who's helping because they're sharing the load. And so sometimes we shy away from helping because it's just too hard. Especially when we see that the burden that that person is carrying is due to their own foolishness. Or at least that's our assessment. Then we are far less likely to help them. They've made their bed, they lie in it. That kind of attitude. Love demands that we help. Love demands. Sometimes we ask, why should I do it? Now, why should I carry that load of that person? Well, here's why. Because Jesus did it for you. That's why. It's a very simple answer, isn't it? Jesus came and took your burden on himself. He took a far heavier load. He took the whole load. The whole load of your sin and my sin upon himself. He bore sole responsibility for it. And it was your choice and my choice. We did it willingly, knowingly. It was our foolishness. And yet he came and took it. And he wants us to do likewise. Sometimes we might think, well, I have enough problems of my own. My burdens are so great, I can't possibly accept any more. Have you said that? Have you thought that? Have you felt that? It's a common excuse. But it is an excuse, and it's wrong. I'm still called to help, no matter how heavy my burden is. As I help you, you help me, or somebody else helps me. That's how it's meant to work. If you can just imagine, you know, you've got some things that need moving. They're too heavy for one person, so two people do it. It's simple, isn't it? I can't sit there and go, but this is too heavy. I can't lift it. And we try and drag it and injure ourselves doing so. We can't have the attitude, look at my weight, I've got to move this, I can't help you with yours. That's the wrong attitude. In helping people lift their burdens, even when our burdens seem crushing, it really is a step of faith. It's a step of faith. I trust that as I am obedient to Jesus, He will provide help for me. He will provide someone to help me carry my load. All right, so love demands that we help one another bear the burden. But this, the other side of it too. Sometimes we might fall into this error. Love also demands allowing another person to share my burden. Love demands letting somebody else share my burden. Again, that so often we excuse things. We say things like, well, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I can see they've got enough of their own. I don't want to add, they've got enough on their plate. I don't want to overfill it. But understand, if you use that excuse, understand that your burden will be my blessing. Because it may be the very thing I need to deliver me from my selfishness. In a strange way, even helping you often eases my own burdens because they don't feel so heavy when I'm helping you with yours. But often when we use excuses like this, it can just be our pride. Because the truth is that I don't want you to see my weakness. I want to put on a front that says I can handle life. I'm on top of things. You aren't on top of things, and neither am I. And so we need to stop pretending. I'm struggling like you. I need you just as you need me. It's amazing when we read through Paul's letters and see how often he tells about how much he's struggling in the letters to his fellow Christians. He says, I don't want you to be unaware from 2 Corinthians. What afflictions came upon us. Oh, it was so great. Why is he telling them this? Well, Paul knew that he was no Superman. He knew he was not up to the task. He needed the church. He needed their help. He needed their prayers. He needed their support. And you and I need to do likewise. We need to be like that, like Paul, not keeping our burdens to ourselves. It's a foolish mistake. Don't do it. One other thing I want us to see in this is God's wisdom. God's wisdom. We've seen that God's purpose is to for us to fulfill the law of Christ. That is to love one another. And by God allowing us to bear these burdens, he is actually achieving that. Burdens are God's way of making us into a loving family. If we don't need anyone, we'll be independent. This is a common goal in today's world. You know, to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to need nobody. But this is unnatural. This is not how God has made us. None of us are complete on our own. When God made Adam, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him." But that's true of us all. We're not made to be alone. God made us to love and be loved, to serve and be served. And needs bring us together, don't they? Needs bring us together. I can't do it alone. I'm not up to it. Our burdens make us dependent upon each other so that we actually serve one another. Our burdens that we share then make us less self-centered, more loving individually and as a community. So we can see God's wisdom in doing this. And so I would just encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't work against God. Don't work against God. Don't keep to yourself. Don't hold on to your own burdens. Don't try and be independent. That's not God's will for you. Well, let's look at the third point, a barrier to burden bearing. This covers 3 to 5. I'll read those verses again. They are a little complex. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work. And then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." A barrier to burden bearing, and that is pride. And I think here Paul is chiefly thinking about those who are unwilling to, you know, get in and help. Those who are unwilling to help their brother or sister in need. Pride. Paul says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, that is, that he has a high opinion of himself. And this high opinion of ourselves comes by comparing ourselves with other people. You know, we look around, we don't compare ourselves with the ones that are up there. We look around for someone to compare ourselves to. Oh, I'll compare myself to you. And when I do, hey, I look pretty good. But Paul says this is just self-deception. He deceives himself. He thinks he's something when he's nothing. No better than anybody else. But when we think we are superior to others, then rather than bearing their burdens, we see our job as judging them. We may think we're above helping them. Or we may think this, which is a common problem, I think. We look at them and say, well, I can handle that. You should too. You know? I've been able to get through things like that. Why can't you? And so in our pride, we despise people as pathetic or foolish, and we're not moved at all by compassion to help them. Well, how does Paul address this issue of pride? Verse 4, he gives them a good dose of reality. That's what he does. Paul says, examine yourself. It's a word that means like for testing gold or purifying it. Put yourself to the test. Test your own performance. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Just test your own performance, considering your own responsibility. Verse 5 says, for each one will bear his own load. Meaning that we do have our own God-given responsibility. And it's different for everyone. God has given you something he hasn't given to me. God has given me something he hasn't given to you. We've all got a unique load. We've got our own pack that we've got to carry, our own responsibilities that God has laid upon us. And for that load, we are answerable to God. Perhaps that's what Paul is doing. He's alluding here to the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, I do have to answer for what is my responsibility, that load that God has put upon me. So putting all this together, what's he saying? He's basically saying to us to self-reflect. How are you doing? How are you doing with your responsibilities? All those responsibilities that God has laid upon you. Your work responsibilities, your family responsibilities. How are you doing as a parent, as a husband and a wife? How are you doing there? Have you fulfilled all your duties? Are you the most loving, you know, husband and devoted wife and the best parent out there? I think it's really sobering when we take a good hard look at ourselves and just evaluate how we are doing. If we are honest, there may be some things Paul suggests here. There may be some things that we can be, he says we can boast about. He doesn't mean it in a proudful way. He just means you can acknowledge, yeah, there's a success there. But for most of us, and in many parts of our lives, if we're honest, we have many more failures than we have successes. It's sobering when we do that, when we're honest and take a good, hard look in the mirror. Not comparing ourselves to others, but comparing ourselves to what God has said. Look at the Word of God. Look at our responsibilities. How are we doing? How are we doing? Boy, oh boy. You know? That's sobering. And you know, when we do that, you know, we give up looking at anybody. I got enough, you know, fingers pointed at me. I don't have to point them at anybody else. Boy, oh boy. So there are times when we're getting puffed up in our own thinking that this is a good antidote, isn't it? To think if we're doing pretty well or when we're comparing ourselves to others. All right, let's conclude now. Let's conclude just by asking this: how do we carry another's burden? Now, I don't think I've got anything here at all profound to say. It's very practical and very straightforward. But, you know, one of the most simple things to begin to bear one another's burdens is by talking to people. By talking. Because there we hear of another's burdens. And if we show enough interest in them, they may have the confidence to share their burdens with us. But that's part of what we ought to be doing as we meet together. This is part of Christian fellowship. It's not just gathering around a table and having a laugh and a joke. There ought to be times in our fellowship when we are actually bearing our burdens with one another. It includes praying for each other. Don't neglect the ministry of prayer. It means encouraging each other, following up with each other. Don't leave it there. Don't let them think you've forgotten when they've laid a burden upon you. Call them up through the week. Shoot them a text. Follow it up next Sunday. Of course, it may include giving money, financial advice, accountability in those areas, offering any number of practical helps. But this is what I would say. When we fellowship with a purpose. We fellowship with a purpose. Jesus bore my burden and tells me to carry my brothers or my sisters. And so what does that mean when I'm fellowshipping together? It means I'm on the lookout. My ears are attuned. I want to hear if there is any of my brothers or sisters that are suffering among us. And I want to do something for them. I can't just let them go off and another week and suffer on their own. They're people for whom Jesus died. They're my family. I'm going to spend eternity with them. I want to be with them. I want to help them in any way that I can. And so that's what we've got to be as we meet together. That's the community that should characterize our fellowship. We all have burdens. What burden are you carrying that you should share? I'm not saying you have to stand up here and blurt it out. I think that would be terrible. That would be the wrong way to do it. But to go to somebody, to tell someone who can share it with you. What is your burden? Who is helping you? Who is helping you with that burden that you have? If nobody is helping you with that burden, why not? Why not? You need help. And people are there to help. Whose burden are you carrying? And again, if not, why not? It's so vital for our fellowship. Let us bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Amen.